Welcome to By the Numbers, the podcast that keeps updated football in the hobby. This week, we're going to go over the NFC and AFC South. Like we did the West last episode, kind of broke down every position. And this week, we're going to go through the AFC and NFC South. A lot of change, a lot of quarterback landscape in that these divisions to talk about, which I'm excited to do. We're also going to review a couple singles out of the 2021 rookies and see kind of how Lawrence, some of those big guys are selling, some high-end cards, just kind of take a look at. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about kind of where retail's at and my kind of thoughts on the different 2021 products so far. So now let's get to the show. Welcome to the show, everybody. I appreciate you guys listening and tuning in for episode 32. It's kind of hard to believe that we're already at episode 32. We'll still call this season one. I think I'll tail it to season two once the 2021 NFL season starts. But I hope everybody had a good Independence Day, was safe, got to spend some time with your family. As I kind of got into my summer mode a bit and spend some more time with my kids, as I'm kind of daddy daycare right now. I've just kind of already learned that my six-year-old son can throw a frisbee better than me. He's got this weird sidearm action that's perfect every time and definitely a lot better than me. So it's been a fun start so far this summer, just getting out, enjoying the weather and enjoying time with family. So really excited for that. With that, we're also going camping tomorrow for our first time. So wish us luck on that with the 4 and 6 year old combo. But anyways, so we're going to have a quick short show for you guys today, mostly because I'm going to be seeing you guys again on Sunday for the Hobbypalooza. Hobbypalooza, second year. Benchclear Media is putting that together. Awesome event with a lot of great content. Really, we hope you guys check it out. Come check out my segment that's going to be 2 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. I'll have Ty with me, and I think we're going to go over the NFC East, AFC East possibly, or we could do the North, kind of yet to be determined. So if you have a preference of what you want to hear on Sunday, feel free to shoot me a tweet or leave in the comments which section or division you want us to go over on Sunday. Today, I'm going to focus on the South, AFC and NFC South. And we're also going to talk about some singles I've kind of seen through the different 2021 products. And then also just kind of talk a little about the retail and what I think of the card so far and a little bit about the agenda for Sunday. So Sunday, I'm going to do the normal 2020 wax update. I won't read through that today. Kind of get you the most up-to-date information so we're not repetitive for the show on Sunday. So we're strictly going to stick to the players in the AFC and NFC South today, talk about their rookie cards and different breakdowns of how they're looking in terms of pop reports and whatnot. So let's get to it. We're going to start with the NFC South. We're going to start with the GOAT. Start Tom Brady. Obviously, that's the big one. Just like last week, we talked about Mahomes. Kind of start off with a bang, and it kind of goes down from here. But Brady's, you know, his kind of one of his most desired. It's kind of Bowman or Bowman Chrome, but the Bowman rookie sold for $11,000 recently with a pop of $459. So that's kind of Brady's. It's kind of back and forth between Bowman, Bowman Chrome. A lot of people think Bowman Chrome, but I think the Bowman, there might be a little bit more, so it might be more attainable. So I just put the Bowman, but both of them are the standard, that black bordered Tom Brady is the card that people are basically wanting. Kind of with the high end was a 2000 SP authentic PSA 10 that sold for $86,000 and has a pop of 56, and that's kind of the rarity of the SP authentic. It was kind of a shock by that high of that sale. I don't even think it was an auto. I could be wrong off the double check, but it did not look like it was even an auto. It's just a low pop card of Brady for his rookie. But as you can see, that's the standard. That's the GOAT pricing. That's kind of hard to fit in with what we're talking about in terms of growth and what we're going to buy and sell, because that's not somebody we're going to be able to move easily. Kind of coming down from Brady, moving to Taysom Hill, his 2017 is Panini Contenders auto, because Hill's kind of a weird rookie card where he doesn't have a normal prism or a normal card like most. He kind of slid into Contenders because he was a pretty unknown. He started out with Green Bay and then was picked up with the Saints and kind of worked his way into a starting role with the Saints from there. So his rookie cards actually aren't as obvious to find. And so right now, his Panini Contenders Auto PSA 9 sold for $307. There's only 56 nines and 48 tens of that card that are graded. And I put Taysom Hill right now because right now the messaging is that Taysom is the starter. Many believe that Winston has the most passing ability, but last year when they had the chance to give Winston a shot, they didn't give him a shot at all. They stay with Taysom. So really interesting to see how that goes in the offseason with Peyton gets another offseason, Winston, if the tune changes. But I do think that we are still envisioning a Winston that was a number one overall draft pick. I think a lot of people are hanging on to that talent, and he's had some flashes for sure. But when a guy like Bruce Arians says he can fix him and then sends him off in a year, and then a guy like Sean Payton goes with a running quarterback that can't throw very well over him in crunch time when Breeze is hurt. Just a lot of things on the wall to me doesn't feel like Winston's going to be the guy. A lot of people hoping for that doesn't feel like that. Well, you know, Taysom's playing style could maybe get an injury and Winston gets a shot for sure. But definitely, it seems like that every coach, especially really offensive-minded coaches like Arians and Peyton, are not enamored with Winston. They get kind of over him quickly. So a little bit concerned of that. If, you know, different people have a lot of high stake on Winston and think he's going to be the guy, I'm treading that pretty lightly. I think they're probably going to go with Hill or whatever Peyton does to kind of get the offense he wants to go with. And there was really no high price for Hill because that's kind of all he has is basically those contenders. So I'm kind of in the NFC South right now. If you're following me now, to the Falcons. We go Matt Ryan. His kind of staple is the top Chrome's PSA 10, you could say. Sell him for 190 at the pop of 455. You know, that's respectable. The top Chrome's is kind of a high, usually a high pop. 450 is not too bad, but mostly because I don't know if Matt Ryan wasn't being graded as much. But he also has a regular tops rookie that's even cheaper that has a higher pop. It's just kind of the time before Prism, so there's not really a staple besides tops at that point. His National Treasures Gold Auto 25 at BGS 9.5 sold for $1,500. It's kind of a high-end card for Matt Ryan. You know, Matt Ryan's just kind of a, I don't want to say boring because it's a little bit harsh, but he's just nothing. He doesn't run much. Pretty good, efficient thrower. He's going to have good weapons. He's got Ridley. He's got Pitts now. I lost Julio, so we'll kind of see how that transition goes, but a lot of high hopes for Ridley in this offense. The running back position is kind of a mess. They not even re-signed Gurley, didn't even give him a chance. They brought in Mike Davis, who we'll also talk about. So I'm not sure which direction the Falcons are going, but Matt Ryan's not something that I'd be buying or looking to for a bump at all. Even though the Falcons seem like they're an every other year team, I do think that division is going to be too tough for them with the Panthers and the Bucs and the Saints. I just don't see the way that the Falcons can work through those three teams to the top. I think the Falcons will probably be fourth when it comes to it this year. And the fourth guy, starting quarterback, is going to be the Panthers, which is Sam Darnold. So he's obviously in a new situation. A lot of promise here. Promise in his price and promise in what he can do. His PSA 10 Prism is only 160. 160 is relatively cheap. He's cheaper than most of these receivers and running backs we're going to talk about. So to me, Sam Darnold is a really good buy right now if you think that he can get it going with the Panthers. I trust the system. I feel really good about Matt Rhule. I really feel good about the weapons he has with CMC and DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. He has a lot to work with. If they can protect him and keep him upright, I do think that Darnold is going to have his best year he's had yet. So we should see a price increase for sure. I definitely would be buying into Burrow. I've been following him on Star Stock, trying to get some, been making quite a few sales in Star Stock lately with some kind of easy base cards. And I've been trying to see if I can find a good Sam Darnold to kind of cling to see how I can sell it once he kind of starts to get some momentum in the season. I do think it'd be interesting to see if he can do it for a full year. I could see him having a fast start and then kind of leveling off, because that's a tough division. But again, we'll see. Like, he's had the tools. He's still relatively young, so there's a lot of potential there for him to grow. One of his high-end Prism rookies is a Prism Camo rookie out of 10, sold for $2,350. There's only a pop of two on it. So, I mean, even a high-end card, $2,350, that's pretty cheap for a high-end Sam Darnold card. So I do think Sam Darnold's a buy. It's definitely somebody I'd be looking to getting some. I've had my Sam Darnold Prism rookie has seen quite the change as it's been sitting in PSA for over 10 months now. So it's hit rock bottom and it's starting to come up a little bit. So maybe by the time I get it back, it'll be worth to what I want it to be again. But moving to the South for the quarterbacks, Carson Wentz, his 2016 Prism PSA 10 is 500. So with a pop of 702, you know, that's a pretty high number for Wentz and how bad he's played. And then just compared to, you know, Sam Darnold, I feel like both those guys are in similar situations that they got to change a scenery to kind of jumpstart their career. But Wentz is three times more expensive than Darnold. And they both were relatively the same draft stock. So, you know, I think Wentz, I am excited to see what Wentz can do in Indy. I think it's the best, like I said before on the show, it's the best landing spot it could have been for him with his old OC that he's had success with and an offense that's ready to go with a great old line. And the receivers are kind of mediocre. They have Michael Pittman Jr., who's up and coming, and T.Y. Hilton, who's on the decline. But they got Jonathan Taylor. They're going to have Mac to be that second punch in the backfield. So I do think he has a lot of weapons. But 500 is pretty high. So I'm a little concerned with how high he is already. I'm not sure where that growth can go. I do think the division could be relatively easy for them with the Jags just getting going, the Texans with Watson's situation. And then, you know, they have the Titans to battle, who they battled last year, kind of back and forth. So You know, I think Wentz is a little high right now. He's not going to be a buy for me. If I had him, I probably would sell if I had one of those, just because I think 500 is a pretty good number on him from what he's shown us the last 2 years. One of his high end cards for him was also a Prism rookie auto out of 99. PSA 10 was 1100. So again, that's a pretty cheap high end card there though. So definitely would probably sell the silver there, but I wouldn't mind buying that rookie auto for 1100. That's numbered to 99. Be a good upgrade if sell two of those prisms and get that auto, be a better investment for sure. So we still have Deshaun Watson here from the Texans, just because, you know, right as of right now, that's all we know is he might be the quarterback. I know he's facing some pretty harsh penalties probably, or suspension from the league, but you know, we're not gonna speculate. He is the guy. He is their most, you know, heavily priced quarterback. He's still one of the best quarterbacks in the game. His 2017 Prism PSA 10 is 530, so it's dropped quite a bit. It was 800-ish, and now it's come back down, obviously, with the news. I think you're kind of in a wait and see with him. He is, you know, he's still relatively young, so I think if he does miss a year, he has some suspension, I think there still is light at the end of the tunnel. I hope that he can get out of this in a way that's good for everyone. Like I said, don't want to speculate. But his 2017 Prism Camo at 25 rookie PSA 10 sold for $6,000. So his high end is relatively bringing high end value still. So that, you know, that's, it's a very low numbered card auto with the Prism. I think it's a pretty high number there. I probably would be selling that right now, 'cause I think it's going to come down further. But all in all, like I said, I just hope that the Watson stuff can clear up for everybody's sake, 'cause he's a great player to watch in fantasy and for his cards for his sake. And the last guy that we like to talk about his card values is Tannehill with the Titans. His 2012 Prism PSA 10, 305. And the main reason that his pop is 5 on that. He's got that two variations of the Prism rookie card, kind of like Russell Wilson does. They're in the same year. But, you know, 305, that's a pretty respectable number for a guy that's kind of had a comeback as well. He kind of bounced around different places, and he's landed in the Titans and kind of found his groove. He still is on, you know, the older end, but 305 is pretty good. I just don't know. I think it's a sell for me, because I'm just not sure if the Titans can take that next step. They have AJ Brown, they have Julio Jones, they have Derrick Henry, they have tons of weapons. But do they have what it takes to go like a Super Bowl? Because the Super Bowl is the only thing I think that can help Tannehill's value increase. If they keep going to the playoffs like they have been and losing in the second or third round, I think we're just going to see the same value right here. So, and I think he's like fringe. I wouldn't even say fringe. I think he's not in a Hall of Fame discussion at this point. So if you have Tannehill for 305 and you think they can win a Super Bowl, then maybe hold. But I'd probably be a sell on Tannehill. His high 2012 Prism Blue Jersey SP. PSA 10. So it's his blue jersey silver sold, and it sold for $2,000. And it only has a pop of 1. So it's a pretty rare card, obviously. But I think a lot of that's a pop 1 type sale, but $2,000 is a pretty big number for Tannehill as well. And then Trevor Lawrence is that last quarterback in the South. Obviously, we don't know much about him in terms of the sales of his flagship rookies, because we're not there yet. But Trevor Lawrence is going to come out hot. He's going to be very expensive. We'll get to a couple of his numbers later in the show. His draft pick sales have been pretty impressive already. His pro set. What's that called? Is it called his pro set? Sorry, let me write it down here. His Leaf pro set, that kind of pro set looking card on card auto at 99 is selling for around $2,000 to $3,000 right off the gate. I think mostly it's kind of his first on card auto, but it is a pretty cool looking card. I really like those pro sets. The ones, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's a pro set year of like Barry Sanders rookie when he's in the Oklahoma State jersey, that kind of red checkered border, red border on the outside. So it's a pretty cool card actually. So I can see a couple reasons why that card's selling so well. But yeah, so I mean, you know, Trevor Lawrence is kind of that long-term player in this division. You know, you have Wentz and Watson and then Tannehill. I mean, Wentz and Tannehill are probably not long-term. Watson we're kind of unsure on, but if Lawrence can get the Jags going, this division has some room to move up in terms of being the best quarterback in the division, which he could be. So switching gears, like I did last week, kind of going quarterbacks, then we're going running backs, and we'll hit some pass catchers. We're going to start with Christian McCaffrey. He's number one running back in the league, number one rated fantasy guy as well. He's got number one 1.01 draft pick for fantasy right now in terms of most leagues. But he's out of the 2017 Prism as well. His silver selling for 365 with a pop of 879. So, I mean, pretty respectable again for a running back. You know, it's really tough with me when it comes to, we'll talk about Derrick Henry as well. Just because McCaffrey had that first injury that really slowed him down last year, it's the running backs are a very volatile position in terms of longevity. I think a guy like Derrick Henry can be a running back for a long time for the Titans. McCaffrey, I thought he could be too, because he seemed like he was built different. But with the injuries last year, now I'm a little concerned. So 365, that's kind of the high end of where we've seen these specialist prices. You know, we saw Michael Thomas start last year was at 300. Now he's half of that because of his bad year. So my thought is I think that CMC to me is a sell at 365. The pop's not low. I just think that 365 is kind of that ceiling for him because it's going to come down so much if he does get injured again. So I think I'm a sell on Christian McCaffrey, so I just be careful there. His 2017 light blue prism PSA 10 out of 199 silver 800. And this kind of illustrates my point is that his silver is 365 with a pop of 900. And this light blue prism PSA 10 out of 199 that has a pop of 27 is 800. Easy for me to sell a silver and pay a little more to get that blue, that light blue, if I believe in him, because it should be worth way more than 800 compared to the 365. It's color match, light blue, just seems like that card would make perfect sense as something if I wanted to see some growth, that's where I'd go with. I wouldn't go with the base silvers. Tampa Bay is tough. They got Ronald Jones and Fournette. Both of them don't really have much sales. You know, most of Ronald Jones stuff, he's got like a blue scope PSA 10 prism, which would be massive for most players. It's $55. Fournette's prism silver is hitting about 110, which is pretty low. And I mean, pretty respectable, but pretty low, but definitely be selling. For me, I'd be selling Fournette at 110. That just backfilled with those two. And then you still got, we're talking about in a little bit, Keyshawn Vaughn still was a draft pick last year. They get another shot, a guy that can catch and run. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, is, you know, Ronald Jones and Fournette, how that backfield shakes out. So I don't think there's any big gains to be had in that backfield as of right now. You know, Alvin Kamara, he's down 17 Prism Silver, is selling for 160. 628 is the pop on that. High end for him is his 2017 Purple Prism Crystals PSA 10 for 500. Is a pop 14 on that. You know, Kamara's down. 160 is pretty low. I actually think Kamara might be a buy. I am worried about Kamara's output this year with Breeze being gone. I think that Breeze was really good at that short passing game, and I think that's kind of why his prices are down. But I do think that Kamara's a running back that's built to be in the league for a long time, different than Henry, because Kamara is an 80 receptions a year type of guy, and I think he can always have that even if he's not running the ball 20 times a game. So I do think he's a player that will be around for a long time and will have stats and will be fantasy relevant. And with that, he'll always kind of have that name notoriety, which I think 160 is pretty cheap for a guy that can be around for a long time. So for me, Kamara at 160, that's a pretty good deal. You know, he's a third the price of McCaffrey. So I just think that's a good buy there. You know, kind of a sneaky guy in fantasy. I don't know how his cards aren't really going to do much, but as Mike Davis, has been pretty effective the last 2 years for different teams, and he's with the Falcons now, kind of alone in their backfield. So all of his cards are under $60. He doesn't really have anything that's, you know, worth talking about, just because he's, you know, kind of an unknown in terms of a high-end running back, but he definitely could be successful. He was good with the Panthers last year, filling in for CMC. So just a guy to watch just for cheap raw flips, maybe. Jonathan Taylor, you know, I'm pretty high on him for next year. 2020 prism base is 150. There's only 29 of them so far. 150 is still pretty cheap. He's, you know, 10 bucks under Kamara, but I do think that Taylor has a huge running back ceiling, but he's definitely, I don't see Taylor doing it for a long time though. This would be a player that once he hits his peak, which is probably this year or next year, I would be selling, because I just don't think he has the longevity that Henry or, you know, Henry or Kamara could have. I just don't know if Taylor can do it that long, especially the workload that Taylor shouldered in Wisconsin. He got a lot of carries under his belt, and I think that will show up over time. 2020 prism silver for him, sold for 600, pop of 4. So it's pretty respectable for his first couple silvers. We'll kind of see how those stabilize once more of them come in. David Johnson for the Texans, he's kind of their starter still. Talk about a guy that's a good example of longevity of running backs. It's been tough for him, you know, since he left Arizona. He burst on the scene with Arizona being like a top running back in the league, and just kind of slowly, but he was older at the time, and he's just slowly kind of gotten worse and worse and worse. And now he's in a pretty bad situation where the team has question marks at quarterback, and they're not going to be doing much this year in that division, in my opinion. So David Johnson, not much there in terms of sales, obviously. Same with James Robinson, because, you know, ETN coming in, James Robinson doesn't have much. Nobody's grading his stuff, and he only had stuff in select. He kind of missed the boat on the other products because he was kind of unknown being undrafted. or really late drafted, undrafted. Yeah. But either way, he was an unknown until he burst on the scene and took over that starting job. But I still think James Robinson can have an impact with Jacksonville. I do think that they plan on using ETN in a lot of different ways. And so I don't think James Robinson is just going to go away. But whenever you're splitting and having a dual running back system, it definitely limits the upside. So I do think that Robinson will have a tough time being hobby worthy. And the last guy for the running backs is the big guy, Derrick Henry, 2016 Prism's Silver PSA 10 for 300. With 2016 and 2017, that kind of all of them are silver, so it's not like 2018 or 19. Pop of 107 on that. One of his high end was a Silver Prism Auto PSA 10, sold for 1200. You know, pretty respectable. Again, I think 300 is about right for Henry. I think that's just kind of a simple hold for me. I do believe that he's going to be still going strong for the next two or three years and be pretty effective. We'll see if his speed starts to take it, you know, come down a little bit over the next couple of years, but he still has pretty high end speed when he's going with his long strides. So I think Henry is going to be around for a while. So I think 300 solid for him. I would probably be holding there. I'm not quite buying. I think 300 is just kind of where you want to keep the card for now. And then kind of moving on to receivers from the South. So we got, you know, Michael Thomas, like I talked about a little bit earlier. You know, he's a guy that last year was kind of the top end specialist guy, coming in about $300 for his silver. He's down to 163 now for his PSA 10 silver in 2016. 390 pop on that. One of his top cards that recently sold, and it's actually pretty recent, so somebody's trying to get in on him on a bounce back, is 2016 National Treasures Rookie Patch Auto PSA 10 sold for $1,200, kind of a high end one. But, you know, with Michael Thomas, my biggest thing is the quarterback position. If Taysom Hill is not going to be a guy that's going to be an efficient thrower, Michael Thomas thrived on volume. That's what he's always was good at with Breeze. And there's a lot of question marks with Thomas coming into the season last year because his yards per catch was quite low. It was under 8, which most guys in the league is 12 to 16 yards per catch. And he was just kind of always that short possession receiver. Well, that's good if you have a quick, accurate quarterback. And I don't think Hill is that. So trying to just kind of visualize what Michael Thomas is going to be in that Saints offense is going to make him effective as he was. I just don't see it. So while 160 is cheap, I still think it's a sell for me because he's the kind of player that last year was so bad. If it comes to be bad again, the bottom's going to fall out and it's kind of over in terms of his hobby value. So I would probably be getting out and selling on Michael Thomas at 160. Calvin Ridley is interesting. His 2018 NFL Prism Rookie PSA 10 is 132. Pop only 69. Not many people graded him, but he is the number one receiver in Atlanta. And I think with Julio's injury, we saw what he was doing as number one receiver. It didn't affect him. He's not like built to be a number two. He was a great number one. And now they have Pitts also to hold down the middle and stretch his field vertically in the middle. I think he'll be just fine. I think he'll be good. 132, I just think that's probably high end for him. I don't see him getting up to that 200, 250 level. One, I don't see success for Atlanta. And two, he's been putting up big numbers and it's at 132. So I don't see a huge change in terms of his production or in terms of his value. So I probably a sell fringe hold for Calvin Ridley. One of his cool, just got like the downtown cards. He had 2018 downtown PSA 10 rookie sold for 300. That card's a SSP. It's a really hard card to hit. And the PSA 10, that's 300. So I would definitely sell two of his bases and go by the downtown and just call it a day if it was me. But I do think his upside is limited in terms of the team success and just kind of where they're at with that franchise. And he's also an older 2018 receiver as well. Another guy in 2018 that's just kind of been waiting for someone to come in and complete deep passes to him, which is DJ Moore. Teddy Bridgewater kind of killed him last year, really inaccurate in terms of his deep ball efficiency, and that really hurt DJ Moore's game. DJ Moore has had some really good metrics and really good numbers to show that if Darnold can get it going with him, he's going to have a big year. I'm pretty high on DJ Moore. He doesn't have any sales of his PSA 10 Prism. There's only 9 of them graded for PSA 10, so very low pop. Nobody's really on him. A couple star stuck stuff that I've had from him. I've been getting some offers. People seem to be kind of looking forward to DJ Moore this year. So he's definitely a guy that could climb. So I would be buying him. I would be buying his raw stuff. You know, a lot of people I've seen in fire sales, different things around marketplace, 6 bucks for a Prism base, you know, $4 for select base, just people just trying to get rid of their cards. And he's a guy that you're able to snag if you know what you're looking for. So definitely look for DJ Moore cards. I think he could be a good, definitely a riser this year and kind of creep into that top 10 fantasy receiver realm this year if things click with Darnold. One of his high-end cards, a 2018 Flawless Rookie Auto at a 20, $400. So that's a PSA 10 of that card. That's a Flawless. Flawless is very expensive, obviously. So that's a pretty high-end card, on-card auto for his rookie, a 20 for $400. So that's very enticing as well. If you think he's going to grow, that card could easily be a grand if he the Panthers have some success, maybe win that division, have, you know, he has a top five receiver year, that card could climb pretty well. So Tampa Bay is always interesting. They got that dual-headed monster of Evans and Godwin kind of sharing time with Brady. There's some great stats today talking about how Brady was QB rating was the best with Godwin. He was more efficient with Godwin. I've always liked Godwin. I think Godwin's really talented. Had some injuries issues, but I've always liked Godwin a little bit more. Evans just kind of slowed down a bit in terms of speed, but still has a size, touchdown ability, kind of always brings that in. But Evans done 15 prism, excuse me, is $100, and 17 prism for Godwin's 80. I think both are low. I think both are low for Tampa Bay, and you know, they go another run and Tom gets one more ring. Holy moly. I think that's going to be pretty big for both of their stocks. I thought Godwin showed well in the playoffs, but Evans kind of made the plays when it mattered. Not really any big sales for either, other than Evans had a super from Topps Chrome sold for $5,000. Pretty big card, obviously, being a super. But yeah, I just think that both those receivers kind of limit each other's ceiling, but they're both pretty cheap right now. I think they're both should be closer, you know, to, you know, Calvin Ridley's 132, Evans 100, and Godwin's 80. I think, Evans and Godwin's upside is much higher than Ridley. So I'd be probably leaning towards those guys for its bias. And then we got the Titans moving into the AFC. They got the Twin Towers now of A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. A.J. Brown right now is kind of the number one dynasty receiver in a lot of rankings. He's a long-term guy that people want. He's shown a lot of skill with Tannehill. And now he has Julio on their side. It's just going to be a lethal grouping right there. A.J. Brown sells 19 prisms, 160 at 384 for his pop there. A.J. Brown's high-end card that sold recently was a 2018 Prism Red. A PSA 10 for $1,385 with a pop of 2. So seeing that gap of his base prism and then his red PSA, I think those bases are down. I think 160 is pretty cheap for him. I think that easily could be a 200 card if he starts to play as expected to start the year. I do think the base are limited when it comes to the prism. I think if you want to gravitate towards the color and the silvers, obviously, like we've talked about. But I do think that 160 is pretty low for A.J. Brown right now. And then you look at Julio, 2011 Topps, PSA 10, 195. He's got a lot of different rookie cards in that 2011. Remember, he's before the Prism rookie card, so he doesn't have much there. But his Topps is a pop of 352. This is the one they say the ball of the chest. He's holding his hands up to his chest. There's kind of two different variations, I believe. But yeah, I think that 195 is pretty good with that pop. That's pretty low. I think Julio's a Hall of Famer. I think he will be. I still think it's a couple of years to go, but I do think he's the numbers and things he's done for the league, I do think he'll be a Hall of Famer. So I do think he's low as like a top-end receiver he's been for the last, 2011, 10 years. So I do think that Julio might be a buy, especially if he has some success with Tennessee that can get him another chance at a ring, which, like I said before, I don't know if the Titans have the defense to do it, but they definitely have a ton of offense to make it happen if they get things going with Tannehill like they have been. His high-end top chrome orange PSA 10 for Julio sold for $700. So that's just kind of where he's coming from. In terms of his high end, it's just tough with those Topps Chromes and those Topps because it just seems like there's more of that stuff made, as we talked about on different shows. So it's just hard to gauge that value compared to the prisms and stuff. So it's more of a kind of taste if you like the card a lot, for sure. Kind of other guys don't have a lot of, you know, the rest of these guys don't have a lot of sales, so we're just going to briefly talk about them. Like I said, Michael Pittman Jr. is the Colts' main guy right now. He's probably going to work into their receiver one. I mean, Hilt might be their receiver one by definition, but Pittman's the guy you want. Brandon Cooks is number one guy for Texans, but who knows who's throwing to him, and they don't have much else. Like with Fuller gone, I'm not sure how effective Cooks is going to be by himself. DJ Chark and Chenault, I think both those guys are kind of in position to grow. DJ Chark I really like, and Chenault I really like as well. If Chenault can be healthy and they both get Lawrence, I think there's a bump there for both of them. I've been looking for Chenault rookies quite a bit lately, so definitely a guy that I've seen a lot of people targeting. And there's kind of some guys that aren't starters, but just guys to keep note of. Jacob Eason, if things don't work out with Wentz, he still was a second-round draft pick for the Colts. He has the arm talent. If things don't work out with Wentz, they might go that direction. So I do think that he could be someone to watch as his car starts to dip with the Wentz news. Kyle Trask, he's behind Brady. He's older for a quarterback, but he's shown signs of being really efficient. He's got a pretty big arm, so maybe Aaron's to get something going with him. Winston, we talked about already. Just his Prism PSA 10s are selling for $250 still. I think it's a sell. Like I said, I just don't see it. Too many good coaches have just not seen it, so I'm not seeing it either. So Winston's a guy that I'm kind of off. Keyshawn Vaughn, I mentioned earlier, you know, that backfield with Jones and Fournette, and then Keyshawn Vaughn, if he gets the looks again, he had a chance last year, kind of blew it a little bit. Maybe he gets his second wind and takes over that job eventually. He could be a guy to watch. And then staying in Tampa again, Antonio Brown. I've been just trying to revitalize his career a little bit. He's kind of the receiver three right now. Showed some flashes of, you know, Antonio Brown type of skill last year, but not as consistent. But he's still a guy that's had a great career, even through his falling out with Pittsburgh and different things. But if he can get back on track and make some noise, definitely somebody to watch as well. So that's just kind of our quick rundown of the AFC, NFC South. Again, if you have a preference of East versus East versus North for the two divisions for Sunday that I'm with Ty, just please put in the comments of the show or just shoot me a tweet on at Twitter at numbers_behind. Happy to give here some feedback on that, and we can go in that direction for sure. I really like talking about the different groupings. Hope I'm not going too fast for you guys. Try to keep it informative as I have been with the PSA 10 pop reports. I think it's interesting for you to know kind of how much is there. Supply is a big part of your decision, and then also the price is a big part of your decision as well. So kind of the couple of notable sales that I've saw, just a couple of quick ones here. Like I said, I want to have a nice short show for you today, as well. I'll see you again on Sunday. Prism Draft Picks, Orange Pulsar Lawrence out of 25 auto, sold for $1,000. That's a sticker auto, but pretty high price for a sticker auto. That's a card you're getting in the I believe it's in the mega boxes. I saw some of those open today. I believe, yeah, because I got a Jamar Chase Orange Ice today and a break. Not an auto, just a regular Orange Ice card. But those are, I believe those are in the mega boxes for the draft picks. The Leaf Pro Set Lawrence Auto at 99 is selling between 2,200 and 3,000, that card I described earlier. Justin Fields Score Auto out of 6 was already expressed for PSA 10, got $1,300 for the auto. I would just say in general, and pick your team prices and just what I've seen early in terms of sales prices. I think Justin Fields is being undervalued, just like he was undervalued in the draft. I think he's in a good offensive system. I think he's got good weapons around him. And I think he's on a team, especially if Rodgers holds out, I think he's on a team that has a chance to challenge that division. So I just, Fields could have a massive rise in his value. So I do think that the Bears are being priced cheaply right now. I would, as of now, for me, I think Lance has to be number two, but I think Fields can be right there with him. Because he's probably going to play earlier too. I don't see San Fran forcing Lance in quickly. So we kind of see how that goes between who lasts longer between Jimmy Garoppolo and Andy Dalton with the two. But I think in general, the Bears are underpriced. And so there's the five major products right now. Is 2000, you got Mosaic Draft Picks, Prism Draft Picks, Chronicles Draft Picks, Contender Draft Picks, and then Score. I haven't seen much Mosaic Draft Picks. That's actually been one that I've oddly haven't seen much of, and I like Mosaic a lot. Prism Draft Picks I've seen quite a bit. Overall, it's pretty good for the draft pick stuff. I do think the different colors have been good. I've watched a few breaks, though. I do like the cards. They look good. Chronicles Draft Picks has been actually better than I thought. I haven't really been a huge fan of Chronicles, but I'm starting to warm up to it after talking to a couple of collectors and different friends. Saw the Lawrence quad patch auto pulled in a break by a buddy of mine last week, and that was out of 99. They just look good. They look good. Most of them are stickers. I think I'd say almost all of them are stickers in the Chronicles draft, but still some good options there. Sprinkling in the different products and seeing a little piece of what you can get. And then, you know, even honestly, and I know Score is very low in terms of value, I was actually pretty impressed with the design. I actually found I found a blaster of score and a blaster of contenders this weekend. I got a chance to open those up. You know, contenders is tough for retail just because the base cards are, they're worthless. There's not much there with the base cards for contenders. You do get an auto in every blaster, which is actually quite impressive. But you know, I had to mine a little bit of fake out. I had an Ohio State auto, you know, obviously you're hoping for Fields, but I got the lineman Tolila, something like that. But, but they're sticker autos, but still the contenders, they're cool cards. I do enjoy the cards. I like the game ticket look, but they just don't do as well with the base cards, and the base cards that would kind of help you survive in the other products. But I did, back to my point, I did like Score's design this year. I felt like a lot of Score I've bought in the past and just take a look at it, just real plain and just not enticing at all. And I really thought Score this year looks sharp. It looks good. I got a base Trevor Lawrence rookie card. I think the cards look good. They're great for Score. I know they're not going to be a lot of value, a big value. I think this Trevor Lawrence is like $4 or $5 for his base rookie out of that. But in general, I thought Score actually stepped it up a bit this year with their design compared to previous year. And with that, just a closing today, I just want to talk quickly about just kind of the idea of retail, where the retail market is at. We've seen a lot of, you know, stores not selling anymore. Online seems to be doing a pretty good job of limiting buys. They're not letting things buy out. So I've been seeing different posts that Target still has product, and they've had product all day. So my question is, and I just want you to leave your comments in the show notes, is do you think that retail product is becoming more available because the proper restrictions are being put in place? Do you think that flippers have moved on to something else? Or do you think that there's a lot more, like they're making a lot more? I think it's a blend. I do think that there has been, I think that the general right now, football, it's hard to tell because the flipping of football, you're not flipping much for draft picks. Not very many people are chasing draft picks in terms of all the draft pick products. So that's kind of out. It's hard to gauge. I do think that different, you know, Bitcoin and also the virtual cards and all those different things is pulling people in different directions. I think that a lot of people's focus is on those different avenues. And so I think some of the flipping stuff has moved on. I also think that when people aren't able to flip stuff for 4X, it's not as enticing. So it's died down. And I do think the limits that stores have put on, I think the online limits of like 3 per cart has made it more available for people to get. And I think in general, what I do like is it just seems like more people are happy. You know, we're not seeing one bot buy, you know, 60 with one order. Now that bot might buy 60 orders of 3, but at least it slows it down a bit so that people have a little more of a chance. So just in the comments, what do you think about the retail? How's retail been in your area? Hopefully it's a bit better. Like right now, I have contenders on the shelf in my area, Scores on the shelf in my area. A lot of the baseball products, the Topps Series 2 is available. Even Bowman's available right now, which, you know, hasn't been. It's pricier. It's more expensive. They've raised the prices on it, but it just seems like that's kind of helped maintain, you know, be on the shelf so you can go buy some when you feel like it, which is nice. So, but that's all I had for you guys for this show. Again, I'll see you on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern. I'll be with Ty. Again, also leave in the comments if you have a preference of North versus East. And then also just my question there about what you think is happening at the retail game in terms of people moving away and the different avenues we talked about there. But again, thanks for listening. Appreciate you guys. I'll see you on Sunday.